Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Weekdays from 6.
Click Keno from only $1 a game. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Let's get straight into it. We've got plenty to get through. We're going to catch up with Adelaide Crows CEO Andrew Fagan. Stephen Mork will pop in and have a bit of a chat about Adelaide United. They play a very important game on Friday night at Hindmarsh Stadium. I've got some mail on Bernie Vince, which I'll drop just before 6 o'clock. It's a big hello to you, Bernie Vince. Welcome, and how was your day, my boy?
Hump day today, Jars, so I'm looking forward to getting hump through day. This one. What mail you got on me first?
No.
Just give me a bit of a hint.
Just call your Jets.
Well, I'd like to know your mail. Give me a bit of a heads up. Beautiful day, mate. Got through today, survived.
Lovely.
So, plenty going on. What about your mate, Ken Hinckley?
Well, hang on. Just before we get to Ken Hinckley and the Port Adelaide Footy Club, big news coming out of the Cricket Australia, South African tour. They've got some one-days and T20 games. Glenn Maxwell ruled out due to elbow surgery. Byrne, he's outski.
Just got back into the side in great form, had a ripping BBL season, and then have, isn't it just, that's just
it's cruel.
Luck.
Sometimes the sport is cruel, but Darcy Short will replace Glenn Maxwell. Yep. And your mate, old Mirrors, scoreboard head, Marcus Stoinis.
Is he
stiff or soft?
Well, he said it's very hard to be that good looking on the red carpet at the Allan Border Medal, so maybe he should just concentrate on his cricket and he might get in the side.
Nice. Now, talking about Port Adelaide, yes. Kenny Hinckley, the senior coach, throwing the first grenade before the
ball
bounced.
Tell you what, if there was a premiership in February, Ken Hinckley would be the coach of the year because he comes out with some statements, doesn't he? We've got a little grab from that today, I think.
We're going to start this year wanting to win the premiership in our 150th year. We're going to do everything we can to do that. And to do that, you have to qualify for finals. So look out, we're coming.
He's put other clubs on notice, Jars. Port Adelaide are coming, but I think that's good. Aim for the top.
You don't mind?
Yeah, aim for the top. See how you go. You probably won't end up there, but we'll see.
You don't think they'll play in the eight, do you?
I think they'll be on the border of the eight. Mm. Yeah. How hard is it to pick, though, the middle teams?
Is that a bit early for Ken to come out and fire the first shot across the bow?
Well, it's a big year for Port Adelaide. They're 150th year, so he probably needs to come out and make a big statement like that because he's under a lot of pressure too, remember?
Absolutely.
So it's basically a free hit for him to come out and say something like that because if he has a poor year, he probably won't be there. And if he does have a good year,
coaches coming out saying that early?
You've got to be careful, but I think in his position, well, he needs to come out. They need to come out and have a great year because otherwise, there'll be question marks all over him.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think it's a bit early. Sometimes don't say anything. Just let play footy and just win games of football. That'll do all your talking.
Yeah, but media teams at clubs, they want you to come out and say stuff like that. They want you to say
no,
things.
No, they don't.
Especially in 150th year.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
You don't see Chris Fagan coming out throwing a little grenade early. He'll just call his Jets. He'll keep calm. He'll keep quiet. He'll just let his players do all the talking for him.
Brisbane's a long way away, Jars. Mm. We don't hear much about that.
No, but I'm
what
just
about...
giving you an example as a coach.
Yeah, okay, well done. Right. That was a good example, actually.
All right.
What about China? Did he say anything about that?
Yeah, he did.
I'm glad you asked.
We let the China stuff take care of itself by the people who are managing that, and they're doing a great job. Chris and KT will take care of that. I would sit here and give you a guarantee that if our club says it's safe to go, that every one of our players would trust that.
So my intel is that they're about a month away from making a decision on that game.
And that decision will be they won't go, so why not make it now?
Well, good question. But the World Health Organization, the UN, overnight said this threat is grave. Is grave. That's what they're saying. That's how serious it is. And there's no vaccine in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't put my players in jeopardy. Not at all.
I've been saying that since our first show in mid-January, Jars, and I don't know why they haven't come out and done it, but there's a lot of organising that happens or needs to happen for a game like that to happen. So if they change it, more organising needs to happen. Well, so they need to get onto that. I feel like a month too far away.
Get on the front foot now. Get on the front foot. We're not going. It's too risky. You can't put your players at risk. Anyway, that's just they're our opinions.
I feel like we had a fair argument there with a few things. Are we okay?
You and I?
Yeah.
Absolutely, my boy.
Oh, good, yeah. Good.
I reckon the other big story, of course, is the news that's floating around at the moment that the Crows are going to step away from their home or potential future home base at the Aquatic Centre. That's been a massive story that's been going across the news cycle today. We're going to get it straight from the horse's mouth. Well, straight from, he's not a horse. Straight from the man at the top. Andrew Fagan, we're going to chat to him soon on the Rush Hour Triple M. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Charles between 5:30 and 7, Monday to Friday here on the M's.
And Andrew Fagan not far away too.
Yeah, about 5 minutes away.
All right.
Yep.
Good stuff. Now, yeah. Bernie Vince, eyeball.
What do you got?
Eyeball
yep.
me.
I'm looking at you, mate.
I'd normally play this intro.
Word on the street. Word on the street.
But somehow you can't get it up because I don't know what the hell's going on
I'm
over
there. I'm still eyeballing you, mate. Hurry up.
Now, I got a phone call today.
Yep.
From an individual that I rate very highly and yeah. is in the know-how.
Okay.
Charles, ask your boy, Bernie Vince, will he be playing with his brother-in-law, James Moss, at my Pilonga Football Club this year? $1,500 a game cash. That's what you're asking.
Why did you have to throw the cash in on top of that?
That's Show me the money!
Do I have to answer this or is that just you just making a statement?
Show me the money!
What's going on? What's wrong with him today? He's been on too many dates. Been on too many Tinder dates this morning.
Now, answer. Have you been approached?
The simple answer to that is no, because I'm calling too many games for Triple M. Mm-hmm. And tune in. They are very highly rated special comments too, I might add.
Highly paid.
And I've got a lot of Saturday games, so I can't play footy anywhere this year.
Okay, so you won't be playing with your brother-in-law, Jimmy Moss, who I think he's on about $3,000 a game.
He kicks 100 goals a year, so he's probably worth that.
He's Mr. My Pilonga, they tell me.
Yeah,
so
I think there's a statue of him.
A statue. So that's not true then.
Not true, mate.
You've been approached by anyone from the football club?
I've been approached by a few clubs, actually. I don't know why, because I'm 35 now.
Okay.
But still got it.
Mm.
That's probably why, actually.
Okay. No, I just thought I'd ask, all right? So thank you for that.
He's asked me every year, Mossy, since I finished, when I was still playing, actually.
Yeah.
He was asking me, good question, though, Juz. Good mail. Where did you get this mail?
Oh, from Mick.
Mick.
Mick, that's all I
All
can't
your
say,
mail's from Mick.
I can't say
his
surname. All right?
Okay.
So I'm protecting him anyway.
Fakes is next. Andrew Fagan, CEO of the Adelaide Crows. We're going to get to the bottom of whether the Crows are going to be, hopefully for the Crows fans' sake, at the Aquatic Centre in the future. Next on Triple M.
Okay, Bern and family, let's catch up with the big boss of the Adelaide Football Club. Looking forward to a very exciting 2020. He joins us, Andrew Fagan. G'day, Fakes. Thanks for your time.
Good to be here, Jazz. Bernie, how are you going, mate? You settling in okay with your new roommate?
Oh, I'm trying to, mate. He has his ups and downs, but I heard you listen to the show yesterday. Did you enjoy it?
Did you enjoy the sports show?
I did enjoy it. Yeah, I jumped out of a meeting, jumped in the car, and you guys weren't talking about sport at all. You're actually talking about trying to find a young racing car driver or a girlfriend.
Yeah. Anton.
Yeah. We're Anton, a dating service.
Correct. I hope you've gone okay, but I hope he's benefited from your wisdom that the two of you have offered. I'm sure it's developed over several years.
Oh, Fags. Now, Fags, let's talk about the $65 million question. Can the Adelaide Crows get to the Aquatic Centre? And the second question is, you're not going to walk away from this deal, are you?
No, we're definitely not walking away from continuing the process that we're in. We're having a crack at it. And because we think there's a compelling proposition there that benefits the community. And I think a lot of the debate in this, or a lot of the controversy comes out of people not quite understanding what's being proposed.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the fact that the consultation's been extended, and I know there's some commentary about, would we walk away? No, the consultation's been extended, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because out of the consultation, I think people get clarity out of what's actually been proposed. And what I've found over the last couple of months is when people have achieved some clarity and understand what's being proposed, they've actually become supporters of this project. And, at its core, we're talking about an existing council problem where they're losing, $800,000 a year running that facility. They've got to spend up to $20 million, refurbishing it. It doesn't actually really solve the problem. It's just a short-term fix.
Mm.
And their own reports say that, look, they've got to knock it down and replace it with something new. So we've said, well, if we can be clever about the design, why don't we look at doing something on the same site, so not taking any parklands away, on the exact same site, providing the services to the community, a dedicated aquatic and sports facility. It's not for us to use, dedicated facility for the community.
Yep.
But if we can do it in a way where we give them what they need, help invest into that as well to decrease the burden on the ratepayers, and also create some space to build a facility for the club to further activate the parklands and build a nice oval, people to come and use and all that sort of stuff, then we reckon there's a win-win-win for everyone. And I think when people understand that it's a dedicated facility for the community, and it's about, you know, partnering, and it's about not taking parklands, I think most people are going, well, I think this can actually be a good thing. So we're going to continue to work through that process, but we're really waiting to get feedback now from the council.
Yep.
who will you know, tell us what, you know, I suppose their more, you know, their further considerations are, together with the feedback that they get from the community, and then we can come up with some more definitive designs and then work through the planning process. So I look forward to the next steps.
A big part of this facility is for the community, as you mentioned. Why do you think the public have been so against your planning for the development?
Well, Ben, I actually think the majority haven't been against it at all. Mm. I think the majority have been for it. Look, there's obviously a vocal opposition, and most of the people who are opposed to it, it's a bit on philosophy. The most common question I get from people is, when I ask them, look, if you're opposed to it, what's your issue? And so if people send me an email, I try and call them back and say, look, I understand you're opposed, what's your problem? Yep. With it, and they go, I'm opposed to building on the parklands. And I'll say, but there's a building on the parklands. We're talking about one that needs to be knocked down, and then a new facility, so a modern facility to cater, one is befitting of the landscape, you know, of the parklands, you know, landscape and environment, so make it a more beautiful facility.
Yep.
Secondly, a more modern facility. But thirdly, it's still a facility that's for you, the member of the community, to still go in and lap swim, hydrotherapy, learn to swim, play areas, gymnasium. That's all for you.
Yep.
And I say, if we can do that on the same footprint and create some space for the football club to add amenity, so you've got more on the same footprint and reduce the burden on the ratepayer, so you effectively get more for less, are you still opposed to it? And the majority of people are saying, well, actually, no, that's, you've answered my questions.
Mm.
So yeah. I think a lot of it, as I said at the outset, is about getting people understanding what the proposal is here, that this is about getting something new, trying to reduce burden on the ratepayer, and also trying to activate the parklands for everyone. And so we think there's a compelling proposition. And as I said, it's for me that it's been the challenge has been continuing to get people to understand the message, and said any of those that do, have been overwhelmingly, you know, positive. And I think that's why in recent days, when that message has become a little clearer through some of the images that we've released and some of the additional commentary we've provided, I think we've seen a real wave of support for the, you know, for the project.
I think the community need to understand this, Jazz, too. They need to do their research a bit more. There's going to be, from my understanding, Faze, correct me if I'm wrong, but an 8-lane, 50-metre pool, a children's pool, splash areas, unfenced ovals, all in which the community can use. So why they'd be trying to knock this on the head, I don't understand. But
it's the tree huggers. It's the lefties. It's a Nipsey, yeah. North Adelaide Nipsey yeah. burn. That's where they are, my friend.
There's some people who are opposed to it, and that's fine. It's that will always be the case, and that's okay. That's, you know, there's people can voice their concern. There's always going to be a difference of opinions. But like I said, I think the majority, when they understand those things, burn, are actually supportive.
Just quickly, mate, before you go, I've got one more for you. Have you been following... Sure. The 50 most influential people in Adelaide, because they've named 30 to 50, and Jars isn't happy he hasn't been named Fakes. Yet, but do you reckon you'll be in the top 30,
to
top
there,
10?
You'd have top to be 20, in Fakes,
surely. Surely you've been following.
Did you get a phone call?
I haven't received a phone call, so I don't think I'm there. So has my chairman got a run yet?
No,
yeah,
he did.
No, he did. Yeah, buddy Chapman got in.
Is he in there already?
Yeah, Robbie Chapman's in.
Well, there you go. I think last year, I think he was in there. Was Aaron Phillips?
Yeah, Roo. Was it Roo?
Aaron Phillips
is in there.
Yeah. Yep. No, so, well, if Aaron's in there and Rob's in there, then look, we've probably been covered, aren't we?
That's an easy out.
If you guys aren't in there, then look, I'm not sure, you know, if Andrew Charman doesn't make the top 20. Something's missing. No, something. So no, I don't follow it too closely, okay, but I do recall last year there was plenty of discussion, and I was happy that it was Chappie was in. But did Chappie beat Aaron, or did Aaron beat Chappie?
No, 20, Chappie 22, Aaron 21. Oh, so she's more influential. She should be the chairman.
Oh no.
Oh, there's feedback for you.
Now, okay, I'm going to go fix the problem.
Hey mate, thanks for your time, fantastic. And thanks for clearing up the new venue. And obviously, there's still a lot of water to get under the bridge, but at least we're on the right track, and it's got to happen, mate. We've got to have a Crows facility in the city, and we'll speak soon.
Yeah, no, and look, guys, just before we go, if you're a Crows fan, it does, I think it's transformational. You know, transformational. It provides an opportunity 365 days a year to come and engage with the footy club.
Yeah.
So kick your footy on the oval, you know, pre or post training with the boys have been, to engage in ways that we just can't do sort of out here. So I think it's a massive plus if you're a Crows fan, and and that, you know, it will provide enormous engagement opportunities, which we're looking forward to if we can get this up.
Cheers, Fags. Catch you soon. See you, mate.
Thanks, mate. Ta-da.
Adelaide Crows CEO Andrew Fagan. Good afternoon, family. Thanks for sticking around. Bernie Vince is still in the chair. Bern, how are you, mate? All right? You're all right?
I'm going well, mate. Big news coming out of Cricket Australia, though, Jars, and you dropped it earlier. Glenn Maxwell missed the South African tour, one day in T20 tour, because of an elbow injury. He's going to have an operation on that elbow. So big news, because he's in form, had a ripping BBL. And just come back into the side right when we needed someone in that middle order to, well, some fireworks in that middle order. So he's going to be heavily missed. And Darcy Short is the player that replaces him. Not your mate.
Mirrors.
Mirrors. Yeah.
Marcus Stoinis.
Mirrors Stoinis.
He's stiff as well, isn't he, really?
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
It's great
to have that depth for Australian cricket. Let's talk about Kenny Hinckley. He's thrown a grenade early to the competition. This is what he had to say early in the day.
We're going to start this year wanting to win the premiership in our 150th year. We're going to do everything we can to do that. And to do that, you have to qualify for finals. So look out, we're coming.
They're coming, Jars. Look out, they're coming. But so are probably 17 other teams.
What he really said.
Good luck.
That's your favourite movie, isn't it?
Yeah, Taken.
I think you quote Taken once a week.
Now, we caught up with Andrew Fagan, the CEO, early in the show, and about the $65 million new facility at the Aquatic Centre.
Can I just point out, it's not 65, it's $64 million.
It's $65 million.
Oh, okay.
That's what he's here. This is what it says in the paper.
Yeah, but the old cliche is a $64 question.
Oh, yeah. It's clever.
Yeah, see,
where do you learn that from? Where do you learn that?
Oh, at AustralianRadioSchool.com, yeah.
Now, what we took out of it, family, if you've just missed what he had to say, the Crows won't be walking away from the new facility down there at the Parklands, the Aquatic Centre. Secondly, waiting on some feedback from the Adelaide City Council, right? So that's what the Adelaide Crows are waiting on. So waiting on some constructive feedback. And we'll cater for the needs, Burn.
Yep.
For the Adelaide City Council, they'll tick those boxes. The local community, they'll tick their box to make sure they're happy and content. And the sporting clubs that are involved in that area, like the Blackfriars College.
I don't know why Adelaide keeps knocking things on the head like this. They're going to include, and he mentioned, he confirmed it, an 8-lane 50-metre pool, children's pool, splash areas, unfenced ovals, all in which the community can use. So why would you not want that? I just don't get it. But he said a lot of people are on board.
So time will tell, and we'll wait and see. But he's fairly confident this will get done.
Good luck.
Hey,
right.
Tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, Name Game is back with Ruined It's for Breakfast. They're loving a little cross promotion love that we're giving them and the clues and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
$400, by the way, is what's up for grabs. And all you need to do is have a name, and you've got a really good chance of knowing whether it's your name by this incredible clue that Andrew Jarman's about to give you.
Former footy show host.
There's been a few of them, hasn't
there? That's all you need to know.
Can you rattle off a few names?
Eddie.
Ooh. Gary Lyon.
James Brayshaw.
Yeah, James Brayshaw. Billy Brownless.
Oh, he didn't.
No. Yeah, he hosted the show once.
That's,
he
a grey area
no,
for
he
me.
No, he did. William
well, that's
did.
Like saying Sam then. Sam Newman.
Sam never hosted the show.
Oh, yeah.
Beck Madden.
You can say he didn't. Do you know Sam Newman sunk his boat
this week,
Chuck?
Hang on. Who did?
Sam Newman sunk his boat.
Did he go down?
I only just found that out. He ran into ground and it sunk.
The big fossil.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to scoop it with buckets. Didn't have big enough buckets.
So I think we can probably narrow it down to maybe Beck or James or Eddie, I reckon. Yeah.
Listen to the boys in the morning.
Billy. Yeah, okay. That's your name. You know someone. Make sure they're listening to Triple M tomorrow.
Turn this up.
Big talk of late about the length of games, length of season, the amount of, at the moment, it's 20 minutes plus time on.
This is our AFL game, yeah?
Our AFL game.
Yes, sir.
So it's been talk about possibly bringing the quarters shorter. Mm-hmm. And John Longmire has chimed in on this discussion, and he had this to say today.
I'd shorten the season and shorten the games, so I actually wouldn't add to it. I'd just take it away, and I think that way you get more quality, you get your better players playing for longer and playing in more games during the season.
Makes sense, Jazz. You have your stars on the field for longer. Mm-hmm. They don't have to come to the bench as often. They can, when they rest, they can rest forward, like in the old days when you used to have a rover and a ruck rover would change forward. See your stars on for longer, less injuries. And that way, and you remember when we were talking about the State of Origin or the exhibition game, as you call it, Patrick Dangerfield weighed in also and said, if we made the season a bit shorter and the quarters a bit shorter, we could have these exhibition games. So, I mean, there's a big discussion around it. There's good arguments either way. The traditionalists, which is hard to say, like to, they want to leave it the way it is, but how shorter do you make it? Do you make it 15 plus time on? Do you make it 20 minutes just flat time? But I don't know. That's the discussion, I guess.
If they went down that path in a couple of years' time, you could actually play the traditional State of Origin games, right? You could absolutely lock them in because the players will be dying to play more football.
Yep.
The question is, what is it? What is it now? What do they play now?
20 minutes plus time on.
So you're looking to what?
Yeah, it takes it through to say it varies. Anywhere from sort of 28, 29 minutes all the way through to can be 33, 34 minutes. So that's a big quarter. When 20 minutes plus time on, that's an extra 13 minutes, at, 14 minutes at some stages. So whether you bring that forward to 15 minutes plus time on or you have it just a set amount. I don't like the set amount, so because teams can waste time knowing that it's going to end. A bit like soccer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good discussion. And I feel like it's a good John Longmire's statement then was very good because your stars are going to be on for longer. They're going to be more rested.
Yep.
They're going to be more powerful. They're going to do the special things we like to see in footy. And there's, you know, fatigue's not going to be as much of an issue.
So they're not going to shorten the season, are they?
I don't think they're going to shorten the season. I wouldn't like that.
You can't go 18 rounds.
Nah,
I'd like to see 18 rounds.
Yeah, no, I think it's. I think they've got it pretty well right. You wouldn't want to be any less than 20.
So,
I don't think they'd be able to do that anyway with the TV deals and everything that's going on.
That.
So, the more games, the better. I don't think we get to the end of the season and go, oh, we've had enough of footy, do we?
Yep.
I think we sort of crave that towards the end of the season. We want more footy, knowing that finals are going to come up. So, I don't think shortening the season is going to be. First of all, I don't think the AFL are going to do it.
Yep.
Secondly, I don't think they need to. So I like the quarter chat, though. I like the discussion.
1-333-533 family. Do you want to see shorter quarters or should we make the game shorter? Get on the phone.
Yeah, and even if you've got some really wacky ideas about just making the game more exciting, we're not talking big bash
or
here.
Or just bloody leave it alone.
I mean, everyone's complaining about rule changes all the time.
Yeah.
So 1-333-533. Do you want to make the game shorter? Bernie had a great idea, maybe 15 minutes plus time on.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, so whatever you think, it's over to you right now. 1-333-533. Got some tickets to give away the Adelaide United game against Central Coast Mariners. It's Valentine's Day at Cooper Stadium. Best caller gets those.
Lovely.
1-333-533. You have your say. Should AFL games in the proper season be shorter? Or maybe even longer?
Do you support John Longmire?
Andrew Jarman.
Slide.
Triple M's Rush Hour. It's kind of like our version of Oasis, the Gallagher brothers, right here, right now. Bernie Vince and Andrew Jarman on 104.7 Triple M.
Which one would I be?
Yeah, I don't know.
The ugly one.
Am I the sookie one?
Yeah, well, you're the grumpy one.
Is he Joel?
They're both grumpy, though.
Yeah, they are.
There's no
but
Joel.
One man, John Longmire, he's not grumpy, made a valid point regarding let's shorten the quarters, all right, because we want to save our stars from being injured. And we want to see our stars participating each Saturday, don't we?
Yes,
that was his message, and you support John Longmire. You're saying, 15 minutes plus time on if they look at shortening the quarters?
I reckon that makes sense. I just reckon the quality of football will be better if it's just slightly shorter because the last bit of quarters aren't, you know, it falls away. Fatigue sets in.
Okay, Twitter family and the phones have lit up like a Christmas tree now. Our very own Dits on the Brekkie Show with Rupert each morning, 7 or 9. Will you get paid less for less time? This is Ditz's text.
Who, players or us?
Well, that'll be the players. He makes a valid point, Ditz.
They won't.
Well, why?
Because the salary cap's not coming down. It's going
less
up.
Football.
Nah, it's a per game. Oh, it's a game thing. It's not shorter time. It's only, what's it going to be?
And what about the coaches?
No, they'll get paid the same, Jazz. Plenty of money in football. We should take up coaching again.
All right. So you're saying no, you disagree with Ditz's text?
No, they'll get paid the same. There's no way pay will come down unless TV deals come down.
By the way, Ditz is on 6 to 9, not to 7 to 9.
Sorry.
So you're short.
Good,
you're
good
short
you know
his
station,
game
Jazz. You're shorting him.
I tune in about Corday.
Jeez, you get around the station, don't you? You stick up from, you know what's going on around here.
Jeff from Pennington. G'day, Jeff. You're on the air.
How you going, Jazz?
Good,
I think they should, Bernie, I think they should leave it alone. They keep calling it our great game, and every year we have to listen to them about changing the rules or changing the times. I think they should just leave it alone.
Yeah. What rules don't you like that they've brought in of late?
Well, I'm a massive SANFL fan rule, and I don't like the out-of-bounds rule.
Yeah, well done, Jeff. Yeah.
Good call. That's Jars, you've been on about that.
I don't like it.
Don't like
it. And Adam Kelly brought that in because he obviously, you know, the AFL said to him, look, let's have a look at it. Let's trial it. We may bring it into the AFL, but I don't think it'll ever happen.
No, I don't think
it will. Well done, Jeffrey. Have a good one. Adam from Glenelg East, you're on the air, mate.
G'day, fellas. How are we?
Very good. Thanks, mate. What do you think?
Personally, I think the quarters should be shortened. I could just imagine watching a footy game, seeing the intensity and the hunger for the ball, knowing that the quarters are shorter. I think it would actually bring out some really good football.
Do you reckon make it shorter is in, say, 15 minutes plus time on, or do you agree to a set time on, like Jars reckons?
No, I think you do need the time on still, because there is heaps of stoppages in the game. But, yeah, why not? Give it a go. I reckon the footy would just be so much better. Yeah, the players would be more hungry. And how many times, fellas, is it? It's the fourth quarter. You've only got 2 minutes to play. And a player goes down. Heartbreaking.
Good call.
No, I agree.
A prize, please, for young Adam. Thank you.
Adam, Adelaide United, Central Coast Mariners, Friday night, Cooper Stadium. Tickets and Ticket Tech. You get a couple of freebies. Well done, Adam.
Well done. Good stuff. Well good done. Call. Peter from Somerton Park. You're on the air, Pete.
G'day, Jones. G'day, Ben. How you going?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Pete. What do you think?
Mate, my idea is to have about 4 25-minute quarters. No time on whatsoever, because it's pretty hard to administer. If a side kicks 10 goals, they kick 10 goals. If it's 2 goals, it's 2 goals. Yep. That way, the only time you need time on in that situation is, unfortunately, someone gets a really bad injury and there's sort of injury time where an ambulance has to go or whatever.
Yep.
That way, you're sitting at the footy, you know, the Crows are 3 points down, there's 30 seconds to go. Everybody knows. You could have the clock go from 0 to 25 or from 25 to 0.
Yep.
Same thing, and also, as a previous caller said, I think there's often players get injured in like the 32-minute mark or something like that, because your fitness goes and your skills go, and that's when you get injured.
Yep.
But I think it must be hard for the officials these days to, you know, time off for a goal, time off for a point, time off for you know, it takes all that out of it as well.
Yep.
I don't mind that, Pete. I think you make some valid point there. I like the four, just 25 minutes cap it. They do it in amateur league, local footy.
What about knocking the ball over into the crowd in the that goes out of bounds, say, and then
that's deliberate.
What about if the ball goes into the crowd and it's the home team gets the ball? They're just going to sit on it. How do you get another ball?
Sonia from Modbury. G'day, Sonia.
Hiya, how you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you, Sonia?
Very well, thank you.
Good. What do you think?
I think they should keep it as it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's actually the only time I get to spend with my husband, and the longer it goes, the longer I get to spend with him.
That's beautiful.
Why? Where does he go after the footy finishes?
does he just take off? That's beautiful. So you want 30-minute quarters together. Now?
Hey, she wants 50-minute quarters. What, you want the game to go all day, all weekend?
That'd be fantastic.
Sonia wants 60-minute quarters now, so she can spend more time with Papa Bear.
She wants a test match. Sean.
Price, thank you very much.
Oh, Sonia, your husband is going to love this, because you have just won for him Holden State of Origin tickets. This is the game that's played at Adelaide Oval. All right. All right, so we've got some tickets for you there. I'm just looking at Jazz to make sure that is correct. Beautiful. By the way, nrl.com/tickets, you can win them, and you can pick your side for Queensland and New South Wales at triplem.com.au and get involved in this. The State of Origin game is going to be awesome.
Thanks, Sonia. Have a lovely weekend. Let's go to Phil of Highbury. G'day, Phil.
G'day, boys. My idea is keep the quarters the same length, drop two teams from Melbourne. It's a national competition, and they vastly outnumber the rest anyway. And then you've got 2 extra weeks, and if you need a bit more, get rid of the pre-season competition, because that's a meaningless heap of rubbish anyway.
Love it. Love your thinking, Phil.
How do you choose which two teams you're just going to turf out?
Well, they're not hard. Not hard.
Who?
North Melbourne and St Kilda. They're in debt.
Yeah?
Your mob's in debt.
What mob?
Yeah, Melbourne Footy Club.
No, they're not.
St Kilda in debt.
St Kilda, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, all right. Yeah. So turf them out.
There's too many teams in the comp anyway. Should be a 14-team competition.
14? No, okay.
I'm serious.
You've never said that before.
Yes,
where'd
I have. I've said it a few times in my past life on this show.
I don't know if you have, actually.
Great call. No, I've never family been magnificent.
Thanks,
so, yeah, there's
thanks,
some
Phil.
Valid in that, what John Longmire did say, Burn.
Yep.
Shorten the quarters. And I reckon in the next couple, 2 or 3 years, we may see that happen. I reckon,
I think
absolutely.
It might. How good was Sonia? That's a great call. The only time I get to spend with my husband is when the footy's on. Don't shorten the bloody game because then he'll take off.
Yeah, it's all about Green Day at the moment. We're just a couple of thousand off getting that 10,000 signature, almost 8,000 signatures. Okay. And we're getting a lot of love, not just from Green Day fans. Mm. But, Bernie, I don't know if you noticed on the way to work, the highway sign on the way
I
to work.
I certainly did. I'm in Glenelg East, so driving in today, I saw a big sign out the front saying, help Triple M get Green Day to Adelaide. So thank you very much to our friends at the highway.
That's Simo, Tony Simons.
Yeah.
Former
we
Glenelg
need to go
outside
down there.
Wingman.
I think Christine might have.
And Christine, yeah, she's lovely, yeah.
Hey, also Bryce Gibbs, I've just noticed on Twitter, Bryce Gibbs has basically got up there. He's obviously a huge Green Day fan. Adelaide, we need your help. And he's just basically saying, family, friends, get on board and get Green Day there. A couple of thousand off.
It's getting exciting, Sean.
It's getting exciting, yeah. So go to triplem.com.au if you're looking for that petition. Sign it and share it with your mates.
Done.
All right.
Hey, your jacket.
Yep.
Can you just explain to the listeners what you're rolling with?
It's magenta. It's a magenta jacket, yeah.
Well, is that the colour? But what?
Yeah, look at it. It's not too bad.
You got a T-shirt underneath it.
What do you got?
Yeah, no.
Is that cool?
It is, yeah.
Jeez, you've changed.
Hasn't he?
Maybe. Have you had your teeth kept?
No.
Throws to a song.
Triple M Rush Hour. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Charles. This time next week, you clowns are going to be thinking about heading over to Kangaroo Island.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
That is going to be fun, isn't it? Because Roo and Ditz are going to be there as well, broadcasting live from the Ozone Hotel next Thursday, thanks to C-Link. If you're in Kangaroo Island, you've got to check these guys
come
out.
Come and see us.
And if you're not, if you're thinking about KI, now's the time to do it. Want to hashtag book them out.
Yep.
Get over to KI and book them out with $15 ferry fares from C-Link. C-Link.com.au. Conditions apply.
Well done.
I'm that excited.
I know
Jazz.
You are.
I can't wait to go away with you. We're going overseas. We're going to get on a boat, Jazz, as well, at one stage.
It's a ferry.
Yeah, good.
It's cool.
Anyway, ferry, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the big tournament this weekend in Adelaide, here at Royal Adelaide, the Australian Open Women's Tournament kicks off tomorrow. Had the Pro-Am today, and so we thought we'd get the golf expert, Joel Jacobs. Joel could have turned pro when he was younger, but decided to go down the business line of things, Jazz, which is probably a good decision in the end, because some golfers do it pretty tough, but welcome to the show, Joel Jacobs.
Thank you.
Jolly.
Now, Joel, there's been a bit of chat, and we've spoken a little bit about this throughout. Well, Jazz has just taken up golf, by the way. That's probably why we started talking about it. But the state of golf, in your eyes, yeah, we see a lot of courses at the moment either merging or closing down completely due to lack of members, lack of financial, I guess, well, finance being pumped into it. Where do you think golf's at the moment?
I think golf's going really well. The strong clubs all around Australia have got, you know, record waiting lists. The B grade clubs are struggling a bit. Hopefully they can attract more members. Most of them are still run by, you know, 80-year-old men who own Jim's mowing franchises, and you know, they've got no idea about golf.
Yep.
So unfortunately, they build expensive clubhouses and can't afford it. So they end up going backwards, and yeah.
So do you think to inject, I guess, more players, more members into golf around the place, do you think we target the kids? We see the AFL with, you know, Auskick and these things. Do you think it's a kid problem or a junior problem?
In my time playing golf, kids have never really played. It's traditionally very similar to yourself. All kids play cricket and football and basketball growing up.
Yep.
And they take up golf from about 30 years of age.
Yeah, well, that's
and
what
then
I did.
It becomes really strong.
Jazz took it up at 70.
70,
but, yeah.
So golf's never really been played by younger people. It's always a game that's been taken up by once you get to about 30, and then you carry through to the day you keel over.
So, Joel, how can that be changed? How can we encourage younger male and females to take up golf? Because it is enjoyable. It's a great place to network. It's 4 or 5 hours. You can get on a buggy and you can walk around and get some exercise as well. How do we change that mentality, Joel?
Yeah, certainly not charging kids to play, I think, would go a long way.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got two or three boys or girls, charging them, you know, $35, even a public golf course, to go and have a game of golf for 4 hours is quite expensive. So if we made it more cheaper for kids, as in free,
yep.
I think that would go a long way.
Okay.
It's very expensive to join up, Jars. It's about 10 to 12 grand joining fee, and then it's $4,500 to $5,000 a year to play. So it's a very expensive sport. Mm. Joel's just come back from the States, from the Phoenix Open.
Right.
So they do, this is, in my eyes, my opinion, the best golf tournament there is. And they have a special hole, which is the 16th hole, which they call the party hole.
Party hole.
I'll let Joel, Joel's only just got back recently, and I'll let him talk you through how they run that. And I want something like that in Australia.
Do we take our show over there, Bern?
Well, now we're talking. Well, I'll let Joel describe what it's like first, and then we'll be going. Don't you worry about that.
It's not the best golf tournament I've ever been to. It's actually the best event I've ever been to anywhere in the world. I mean, including basketball, Derby Day in Melbourne, everything.
Yep.
From the time you arrive, you actually don't wait 1 minute for anything. So you walk straight through. There's not the scanners. Well, there is the scanners, but they're all automatic. You walk straight through.
Yep.
There's no money. So you walk through, you've got 10 beers on your wrist. So you walk through, there's beers everywhere. There's food everywhere.
Yep.
Elevated platform so you can see all the golfers. So the days I went, there was between 100 and 150,000 people.
150,000?
Per day.
Wow. How many on the 16th hole?
There would be, at a guess, 20 to 25,000.
On one hole, Jazz. How would you go teeing off on that?
Oh, I'd pass out.
In your Kermit the Frog top.
I'd pass out.
20,000 on one hole, Jazz. So this is what we're talking about. And, you know, we could go on forever here, but I feel like Australia needs to do something like that because, or they need a major. They need more money injected into golf because we're going to lose it slowly. So thanks for joining us, Joel.
Well done, Joel.
Thanks for your insights. And Jazz, let's lock in the Phoenix Open next year. Put Oregon and OB just near the green on the 16th. You reckon we'll get away with that?
Good on you, mate.
Yeah, the Advertiser all week have been doing their 50 most influential people in South Australia. By the way, we're not getting paid by the Advertiser to talk about this. What we're worried about is whether Andrew Jarman is going to make the top 50 list again, as in he didn't make it last year. Is he going to miss out again? We'll find out with Bernie Vince right after this. It's the Rush Hour, Bernie and Jars.
Triple M.
All right, Bern, what's going on?
Well,
what do you got?
The third installment of SA's Ultimate Power List has been named, Jars, and you're not in from 20 to 30. But as I, when we started doing this, the 40 to 50, I said you'd be in the sort of around the, you know, 5 to 15 mark. So
you
I'm going to name a few of these.
Okay.
30. From 30 to 21, I'm going to go. Right. David Edwardson.
Okay.
Any comments? You can make any comments on the way through.
He's an influential in the courts.
James Mackey.
Named Australian of the Year last month. A doctor? Absolutely. Anyone that's a doctor, tick.
Well done, tick. Okay. Jeff, this one's hard to say. Rorsham? Yeah. Jeff Rorsham?
Oh, he's a corporate man. Don't
I like this bloke's name.
Sorry, Jeffrey.
Jim Whaley?
It's Jim Whaley.
What?
Honestly, what am I dealing with here?
Adrian Temple.
Law firm. Okay.
Warren Randall.
Wazza, they call him.
Michael Hickenbotham. Is that Hickenbotham?
Well, the building industry. Yeah he's influential because he provides jobs. Absolutely. Yeah, tick that.
Anne Rustin.
She's a politician, isn't she?
Yep.
No politician should be in this. No, so she's
crap.
No, sorry.
Get her out.
See you, Anne.
Okay, so the next two you're going to quite enjoy. Number 22, Rob Chapman, the chairman of the Adelaide Football Club.
That selection's a disgrace, honestly. He's not influential whatsoever.
No, but he's like the head of Bankers, eh? He's the chairman of the...
No one likes banks, so sorry. A disgraceful decision. Who's next?
A disgrace.
Yep.
And under him, which is sort of bragging rights, I feel, number 21 and the final piece of the third instalment, Erin Phillips.
Well, now look, she's a beauty. So she does influence young ladies playing football.
She does.
So
she's I thought 21's a bit far out.
I think Erin's very stiff.
Oh, I just got a text message as well before.
Who from?
And Tex, he just said.
Your text?
Yeah, I said, have you seen this influential thing? He goes, there's no way Jars will be in it, but wait for me. Oh. It won't be tomorrow. It'll be Friday because Friday is the top 10. You're joking. Well, I've had to remind you, he's not the bloody skipper anymore. You're not the mayor of Adelaide
anymore, son. He's a washed-up
You are no one. You'll be lucky to be playing for the Adelaide Footy Club.
I've collapsed, Bert. See you tomorrow.
That was the Rush Hour on Triple M.